Hey guys, how's it going? Stefan Maya here with you in the TAC group. And I just wanted to share some words, some thoughts, and some scripture regarding something I see, or I've been seeing throughout the years on Facebook and other digital platforms, if you will, regarding baptism. I'll often see articles or videos being shared or posted online regarding massive baptisms taking place, perhaps in third world countries or abroad. Sometimes mass baptisms taking place even stateside or over in Canada. Some of them not necessarily massive in numbers, but influential in the people who are being baptized, immersed in water, if you will. I've seen many of these sorts of religious traditions or experiences being shared. I see many of our brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christians, share many of these videos that have mass baptisms taking place, meaning many people coming to the water in order to be baptized. Almost every time I open the article or I watch the video, it is of people being immersed in water because they're getting wet. I've not seen any Christians being made, and I don't see any good for God being done whatsoever. It's kind of alarming to see how many of our brethren don't have the spiritual discernment to see that these baptisms taking place have nothing to do with Jesus and everything to do with denominational ideology and tradition. Most of the time, these baptisms taking place are receptive to those adhering to the faith alone belief. Faith alone belief, the idea that upon their immediate acknowledgement of Christ in their minds, that therein at that minute they are saved, either through a prayer of sorts or a religious experience that they misguidingly associate with the Holy Spirit, things along those lines, and then they take baptism as an outward sign of an inward grace. They portray baptism, they are getting wet for the purpose that they believe they have already been saved. A great many times, that is exactly what is taking place when you see these articles or you see these videos that share a mass baptism taking place. And they kind of use that as clickbait to make us think, oh wow, look at how Christianity is growing. Look at all these people getting wet. God is working with us. No. As a matter of a fact, they're making these souls twice the children of hell than they were prior to getting wet. No, they are not doing any good for God. God is not working in denominational baptisms. He doesn't work in babies being sprinkled water. He's not working with infants being poured water on. He's not working with any kind of accountable adult who does not understand why he is being immersed in water. Does he need to know everything from A to Z, from Genesis to Revelation? Well, of course not, but there are fundamental things he or she must know prior to being immersed in water. You want to go to the book of examples, the Acts of the Apostles. What do we see there? We see the kingdom of God being preached. We see the authority and name of Jesus Christ, and we see baptism. You see, there are elements that are necessary for one to be immersed in water. And when we have these quote-unquote mass revivals and awakenings and baptisms, there's just a whole bunch of people getting wet prior to their departure for hell if they die within that error. It frustrates me because we tend to want to associate something good from God happening when people get wet and nothing's happening. It's actually, for the most part, galvanizing these souls' minds in error. One of our members here in this group shared, for instance, an article regarding Liverpool soccer stars baptized. Now, she's not sharing that because she believes they are properly baptized and are now Christians. I believe she was sharing that to have our thoughts. But I've been seeing many of these kinds of articles and videos being shared publicly from brothers and sisters in Christ with the caveat that God is working good things. Well, friends, God is not working in these departments, these denominational categories along those lines. These men who are being baptized, they're not being saved. They're just getting wet, and they are associated to the denominational ideology that they have been brought to the water with. They're not Christians. The language and the portrayal of what's taking place is denominational. It is a deviation, a pollution, a corruption, a perversion of what the truth, reality of Scripture teaches. Baptism, of course, has its proper format. It is a burial. Baptism, baptizo, to plunge, to dip, to be immersed, must adhere to the pattern that God in His reality, the truth, reveals in His Scripture. No other way will suffice. You must be fully immersed in water for a burial to take place. Don't start talking to me about, well, what if his hair doesn't go in, or his toe, or his nail, or his this, or his that. Be quiet. He has to be buried. That's all I know, and that's all I run with. What my eyes don't see is God's judgment, and I leave it at that. What the Scriptures teach, God will not contradict, and the Scriptures teach a burial, an immersion must take place. So we have that founded there in the Scriptures. It's very clear an example. So it's a burial in water. Why? Why are we seeing people through the Acts of the Apostles being immersed fully, plunged, dipped, immersed in water, baptizo? Why do we see that happening? Well, the Scriptures reveal that therein is where we get in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. Simple question. Do you think we are washed of sins prior to being in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ? An honest, sincere, and genuine Bible student would quickly say, well, no, Stefan, you can't be washed of sins without the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, well, where is that applied? Well, the why is held with the baptizo. Therein, your burial, you get in contact with the power of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, the blood of Christ. That is what washes your sins away, Acts 22:16. So baptism has a descriptive element. It's a burial in water, full burial. And you're doing that for, in order to, so as to receive the forgiveness of your sins, to be washed away. What is happening once you come out of that water? You are born again. You've been spiritually operated on. Your faith, your trust in Jesus allowed you the action moving forward as a qualified vessel to be buried in water to receive God's forgiveness, Christ, His gospel saving your soul. You come up out of the water, you are now given by God the descriptive title that belongs to you, Christian. You are a follower of Jesus Christ, but you are identified at that moment as born again. You've been born into the family of God. You are now John the Christian, Joe the Christian, Nancy the Christian. You are a Christian. Your family name is Christian. So, the burial taking place is the element in which baptism is revealed, scripturally speaking, if we, of course, trust, faith, in truth, reality, the words of the scriptures, and we should. For the forgiveness of sins is the reason one is immersed in water. Here's something very specific, precise, and accurate regarding this very thing the Bible teaches, this reality, this truth. It is part and connected to the authority of Jesus, and it also encompasses His kingdom, His church. The location in which you are now placed, added to, once you come up out of the water, born again, a Christian, forgiven of sins, God adds you to His church, His kingdom, the body of Christ. You are a citizen of His kingdom. His kingdom is unique. There is but one kind of kingdom, His kingdom. You do not come up out of the water, born again, associated with and in fellowship with denominationalism. Can a person from a denomination immerse you in Christ? Yes. However, is that expedient? No. Perhaps it is if you find yourself in a part of the world where there are no Christians, but you've been reading the Bible and you know what you need to do in order to be right with God, so therefore you reach out to someone that happens to be perhaps a member of a denomination, and you ask that person, could you please assist me to have my soul saved by Jesus Christ? You only need to plunge me in the water there and Jesus will wash my sins away. That takes place, by the way, in areas of the world where Christianity is far and few in between, and I know that as a fact as one who has been born and raised in New Brunswick, Canada. So I'm simply saying a non-Christian can immerse a person into Christ. However, that person who is now immersed into Christ must associate with the local congregation that belongs to Jesus Christ. Or, if there is none, must associate the proper spirit and truth of worship within his home and hopefully plant the church there and grow it there. These baptisms that we see posted in various videos and articles of this kind of mass exodus into the water where people... it's all in vain. It's useless. It does nothing but create greater confusion and doubt within the fold. And it's interesting to me, well, not interesting, kind of sad and unfortunate, that some of our brothers and sisters who should know better share these kind of videos with the caveat that God is doing great things. Look, 250 prisoners were baptized. Look what's happening in Africa. There's like 1,200 people were baptized in like 1 hour. Oh, look what's taking place here. 5,000 baptisms took place. And then you open the article, you open the videos, and what is it really taking place? Nothing. People getting wet. solidifying their error further deeper down the religious canals of darkness. It's just there's nothing good happening there other than people getting perhaps clean that hadn't been getting clean in water for a while. We need to be able to discern that. See, that's why we find ourselves having trouble saying that Billy Graham is on the same plane as Hugh Hefner. See, we have a trouble with that. That offends us because we tend to think that Billy Graham is some kind of bastion of Christianity. He's done so much good for God. He's probably done worse for God than Hugh Hefner ever dreamed of doing. See, because Hugh Hefner, he peddled his filth to the heathen, the pagan. Billy Graham peddles error to those who try or claim Christianity. Who's the greater effect? What's the greater threat here? If you're in the congregation and Hugh Hefner walks behind the pulpit, what are you going to expect to hear? You're already positioned to reject what he's going to say because you know what he represents. And you can associate that. But if you have someone like Billy Graham going behind the pulpit, oh, he must be a man of God. He isn't. He's a man created in the image of God, like all of us are, but he's not a saint. He's not a Christian. He's done no good for God. But we have a problem with discerning that. So that's why we're quick to say, Hugh Hefner's in hell. Well, he is, and that's a sad thing, but he chose that path. But dare we ever say that Billy Graham is going to hell? Well, he is. He's never been a Christian. He sent more people to hell than Hugh Hefner could ever dream of doing. See, that's why we can't discern when we see videos and articles of these mass baptisms, because in our minds, we just really, really think and want that to be something good from God. And so we proclaim it. It's kind of like the Hollywood star who goes behind the adulterous and the idolatry of their format to say, I thank God. And then all of us are like, oh, there, he's a Christian. He's a Christian. Look, he thanked God. Well, which God did he really thank? We're really grasping at things that we don't need to be grasping for. Hollywood actors are heathens. Some of them are going to claim they believe in God. Which God do they really believe in? Because when I hear them speak about their God, I don't see that God in the Bible. It's the same thing with sports figures. Oh, he's a Christian. Look, he has John 3:16 on his face. He's not a Christian. He's never been born again of water and the Spirit. He's not been added to the kingdom. He don't even understand the uniqueness of the church. In the book of Acts, what do we see as a pattern, a model taking place every time? The kingdom of God, which is the church, the authority of Jesus Christ, and baptism. Now, I don't know about you, but I would take that as a pretty good system of example to follow. Those 3 points that must be necessary with one's immersion. I don't know. There's a lot of that going on, and I just wanted to kind of chirp in and share a bit of solid reality regarding these moments of discernment. Would I rather have good people, meaning people who live life according to the morality of the Bible, than not? Well, of course. But does a person who decides to stop being a murderer in of itself make him closer to heaven than another? Like, if he passes away from this earth, is he in heaven now? Well, no, he's not in paradise. He's in torment. He's not been immersed in Christ and understood the uniqueness of the kingdom and all the wonderful things and blessings therein. We need to start being able to discern right from wrong with these things. And so my thoughts to this video that was shared by one of our sisters is simple. These guys are they just got wet. They're not saved. They're not Christians. They were not born again. Nothing good has happened here. God is not working anything good in that. That has nothing to do with God. Nothing. I can discern that. Why? Because I think I'm self-righteous, or my judgment is all hypocritical? No, because I study the Bible. I read the Bible. I believe the Bible. The Bible is reality. And the Bible teaches us that what's taking place there has nothing to do with God. It's just people getting wet. So baptism, according to Scripture, again, must be a burial. And this burial takes place from a believer's heart in order to receive the forgiveness of his or her sins. And he or she is added as to the kingdom of God, to the church, and is a citizen therein. There's uniqueness in these things. Don't take my word for it. Doesn't Ephesians 4:5 specifically say one? There's just one kingdom. There's just one church. There's just one kind of a baptism. If you are not immersed with that one kind of a baptism, your baptism was not the kind that saved your soul with the blood of Jesus Christ. No, you just got wet. It would have been Naaman dipping 6 times, 5 times, 4 times, or 7 times in the wrong river. Ever thought of that? Yeah, I'll do it. I'm just not going to do it in that river. I'll dip 7 times, but just not in that river. Do you think that would have worked? No, it wouldn't, would it? You know it would not have worked. And so this one unique kind of baptism is a sanctified instrument. It is separate and apart from the world's practice and tradition of baptism. They've got baptism wrong. The Bible's got baptism right, and all those who are honest and sincere towards it are going to apply their lives within the faith necessary to obey this one kind of baptism. It needs to be a burial, and it needs to be for the forgiveness of sins, with the understanding that you are now placed in the one kingdom of God, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. So every time you size up this pattern, what God says, and you test the spirits, the words that people say with the Bible, you'll be able to discern right from wrong. See, I take the Bible and I size it up with what these people are claiming. Oh, mass baptism, 1,000 baptisms in Africa. And then I look at what's being taken place and how it's taking place, and I quickly realize these people weren't made Christians. These people were not forgiven of sins. These people got wet for a denominational purpose in order to ensnare you in deceptive ways. And yet still we'll have Christians share this like if God's doing something good. God ain't got nothing to do with it. It's important we know that. It's important we realize that. Because we're not helping people get to the truth, which is reality, if we share these videos of these mass baptisms that have absolutely nothing to do with God. Because it'll deceive people in thinking, oh, see, wow. I guess that baptism is operational. I guess that baptism is productive and works. See, I don't need to be immersed for the forgiveness of my sins. I just need to get wet because of this, that, and the other reason. It leads people the wrong way. Now, in no way, shape, or form am I saying that the article that was shared by our sister in here was for that reason. I know it was not. So I'm not at all addressing what this sister posted in this tag group. She's posting it for our thoughts so we can discuss these things. But I've seen in public some brothers and sisters share this kind of content with the caveat that, oh, look at the good God is doing. God's not doing anything there at all. Those baptisms are not the one baptism. Again, the book, okay, let's just quote the scriptures, right? Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Or do you not know that all of us who have been immersed into Christ, Jesus, have been immersed into his death? You see, you have union with Christ happening at that very moment. The baptism, the reason you're being baptized here, Paul understands, speaking to the Christians in Rome, saying, that's at that very moment you became in union with Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have been buried with Jesus Christ through being immersed into his death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Newness of life, born again of water and the Spirit. Newness of life, it's a burial. And you can see that unfold and take place in the Acts of the Apostles. And we have a very well written account, recorded account with the Ethiopian eunuch who says, look, there's water. What prevents me from being baptized? In chapter 8 of Acts, the result of him hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, he saw water and immediately identified water with what was being preached to him by Philip, who was an evangelist, regarding the Christ that was prophesied by Isaiah through the Old Testament prophecies and prophet. So what does he do? Well, he wants to be buried in water and become in union with Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what takes place. And we see the very example move forward and how that wonderfully comes together. And he says, let me see here, chapter 8. Oh, I'm in the wrong book. Acts chapter 8. There we go. As they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being immersed, buried, right? And Philip said, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Well, do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? You see, with Isaiah 53, I've now taught that to you, that Isaiah was speaking messianic prophecy regarding Jesus, the Christ. You see, do you believe that? Do you believe the evidence? Do you have trust, faith in the evidence of the scriptures? Do you believe Jesus to be the Christ? Yes, I do. Well, then you qualify. You qualify. And what happens once he qualifies? Verse 38, he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he immersed him. Baptizo, plunged, dipped, immersed him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but he went on his way rejoicing. Why rejoice after being immersed? Well, because you're immersed for the forgiveness of your sins and added to the kingdom of God. That's why. See, he did not rejoice prior. And according to many denominational error, he should have. By necessary inference to the teachings of denominations, he should have rejoiced the minute Philip preached Jesus to him. Oh, I believe. I'm saved. No, you qualify. There's a big difference. Did you know that the scriptures teach of believers who qualify to be immersed but never did? That's interesting. Perhaps for another video. So here we see an example taking place that is very revealing to the insight of the scriptures regarding baptism and how it unfolds. What I read here in Acts chapter 8 taking place with the conversion of this Ethiopian eunuch is not what I see when I look at these videos and these articles posted on Facebook about mass baptisms taking place, a whole bunch of people getting wet. God's not working in that. God ain't there. Has nothing to do with God. I can know that because of Matthew chapter 7:21. Many on that day will say, Lord, Lord. And what's it most interesting with the accuracy of that context over than that chapter is he's actually speaking about Christians who think they're going to heaven but have not been productive. They've not been acting upon the word of God. And now at that day, trying to claim his name, saying, well, I thought we were doing things in your name. What do you mean? I don't know you. You were not doing anything in my name. Begone from me, you who practice lawlessness. I don't want to be in that category on that day. That kind of stuff keeps you humble, doesn't it? It most certainly does. Being humble don't mean you're ignorant of the scriptures. The scriptures teach the proper mode and operation of baptism. There's just one kind, Ephesians 4:5. Again, there's just one unique kind of baptism, the kind that saves. Are several baptisms mentioned throughout the chronological history of the scriptures? Yes. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't get that today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was prophesied by the Christ in John 14, 15, 16, 17. It was necessary. It's beneficial to the apostles that Christ would leave so that the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit would come upon them. The power of the Holy Spirit poured out upon them on Pentecost to bring forth the moment in which the kingdom's doors would be opened. And we see that once again in Acts chapter 10 with the Gentiles to confirm that the Gentiles now had the qualifications necessary to obey the gospel. How? By being buried in water with the authority of Jesus Christ in order to receive the forgiveness of their sins and be added to the kingdom of God, the church of Christ. The Jews in Acts chapter 2 and the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. We don't receive that today. We don't receive the baptism of by the Holy Spirit. We are immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins, because the Bible says so, and the Bible is the sword of the Holy Spirit, of water and the Spirit. See, when the Spirit, the words of God, are Spirit, you listen to them, you obey them, born again. That's very interesting. And so there's other areas as well. There's Christ the Baptist speaking of Christ going to baptize some of them with fire. Well, that's not the baptism we want. That's the baptism of judgment, the baptism of eternal torment, hell, outer darkness, where the worm dieth not. It's not the kind of baptism you want. You don't want the baptism of fire. So you don't want the baptism of fire. And you can't receive the baptism by the Holy Spirit anymore. So what's the one baptism Paul is telling the Ephesians, the Christians in Ephesus? Look, water, what prevents me from being immersed? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I do. You qualify. You can go in the water now and be immersed to have the forgiveness of your sins and be added to his kingdom. Isn't that cool? So once we understand that, and that it is from the Bible reality, every time we see an article or a video or something being posted by a Christian that says, look at the work God is doing with all these massive baptisms, we'll know no good is being done at all. It's just a bunch of people getting wet. Sadly, unfortunately. And it's even harder to help a person who just got wet thinking he's saved that you're now going to tell him that he needs to retract from that and be immersed properly. See, the further they go down the religious error, the harder it is to pull him out of it. That's why at times the Gentiles, the heathens, they're quicker to understand the scriptures than those who have been Christians forever. It's true. There's some Christians, been Christians for 40, 50 years. They still cling to the misguided interpretation of many verses in the Bible, baptism being one of them. They won't repent. Why? Because I was born in the Church of Christ, and my daddy and his daddy was a Church of Christer, and we've been born in church, and I know everything, and I got a whole bunch of pride. You can't work with someone like that. But when you have a Gentile, a Greek, a heathen, who's seeking the truth, he's humble and submissive to everything he reads in the scriptures. So he's submissive to the instruction that it reveals. And so you can teach that person. That person can be taught. These are elements that are necessary for the discernment of right and wrong when it comes to baptism. What do you guys think? You think this makes sense? I think it does. Well, wow. It shows like if no one's listening, that happens. Sometimes Facebook takes time and sometimes people are about their business. But anyways, I just kind of wanted to chime in with this. And again, you can challenge me. I'm ready to defend this in court. You can challenge me all you want. You're more than welcome to, in a civil and mature manner, challenge me with what I've just proclaimed and shared with you. But I'll defend it in court, spiritually speaking. Because I know that's what the Bible teaches. It's an objective truth. It's reality. So if you want to come to me and say that these massive baptisms were a God's work, you're going to have to be able to defend that scripturally. Anywho, I appreciate you all a great deal. I hope you're having a wonderful Lord's Day and that you are encouraged and in fellowship with your fellow brothers and sisters. Today's been a wonderful day for us. We've had a baptism. We've had a young lady immersed in Christ. It was a very joyful moment, a moment of great peace and encouragement. And so, today was a good day. A soul was saved. That's a good day. And she was immersed in the one baptism of Ephesians 4:5. And she knew why she was being immersed. And she knew the uniqueness of the kingdom. See, there's no confusion. And she was fully buried in water. Everything that took place was scriptural. It was accurate. It was precise. It was rightly done. It was righteous. It was the right way. It was God's way. No other way. No other way is pleasing to God or has anything to do with God's works. It's all the works of the devil. There's just one way. If you have any comments or questions, by all means, let them be known. We are here to learn the Bible. You know, in this TAC group, I would say approximately 90% of the content in this TAC group is gospel related. There's about 10% that is, political opinion, humorous, secular. But I mean, we're human beings that have to deal with politics and secular living and humor. So we take a bit of our time to have that moment to discuss those things. But 90%, if not more, is all gospel content. And it's geared that way so that we can have religious discussion. Not religious argument. This is not a place where everybody comes along like a community church and says, well, I think this verse means that. And you can say that verse means this and we can all get along. No, this is about finding the reality, the absolute truth of every single verse in the scriptures. And we've been doing a good job of that. Because of the TAC group, believe it or not, many things take place in private in which you do not see in the TAC group as a result of what is taking place in the TAC group. And many great people are learning scriptures because of our aid. And I am greatly thankful to the many of you who share gospel content, whether it be articles or videos or questions or comments, who exercise and engage and participate in gospel effort that helps us all grow together. So once again, I appreciate all of you. Stay focused, stay positive, and we shall most certainly meet again here shortly, Lord willing. God bless.